Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. I'd like to take just a moment to invite you to our church services. We have Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. every Sunday, second and fourth Sunday night at 6 p.m. I've been bringing a few different messages on Sunday nights. Last Sunday night, we dealt with the subject of Israel and went through some things about why that's important to Christians and what the Bible says about it being the promised land, the prophesied land, the protected land. And so we've been having a good time on Sunday nights as well. Then Wednesday night at 7, we have our midweek prayer and Bible study. And we are located on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road off of 105. That's just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we appreciate the church and the ministry they have in the Blessings of Liberty. I'd like to say good morning to my son, Noah. He's turning the dials on the other side and produces and gets the radio broadcast ready for the other radio station we're on. And so good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning.
It is. Pretty day. Mm-hmm.
It is outside. We want to say how much we appreciate all those who are listening in, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 in WATA in Boone, North Carolina, and those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And, you know, Noah, I was thinking about it as I was getting ready for the radio broadcast. We may have some new listeners that we've picked up along the way. And maybe somebody just turning in that's never listened in before. Maybe they're wondering what we're all about. And I thought I'd take just a moment today and explain where Blessings of Liberty comes from. And Blessings of Liberty is a phrase that is lifted out of the preamble to the Constitution. And I want to take just a moment and read from the preamble to the Constitution. You know, originally, the Constitution did not have a title. Nowadays, if you get something, if you pick up a copy of the Constitution, it'll say the Constitution of the United States. But originally, it just began, "We the People." And that was the beginning to the Constitution. And it just said, "We the People of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." And so that's where the title or the name of our radio broadcast comes from, that little phrase, "Blessings of Liberty to ourselves and our posterity." And many people maybe don't realize it, but that means that they intended for the blessings of liberty to be for themselves and to continue on to their children, their children's children, and right on down the line to where we are today. Many people do not realize it, but the idea of liberty is not an American idea by itself. It is a divine idea. And that's why every time we come on the radio broadcast, we give Leviticus 25:10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is inscribed upon the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but that is out of the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. That would make it at least 3,500 years old, maybe even a little older than that. I found a quote the other day, and I wanted to share it with you. It's by Ethan Allen. Ethan Allen is a pre-Revolutionary War, pre-United States of America patriot. And I've got a book called, Battlefields, Blessings and Battlefields. It's a devotional book. I've been reading through this book through this year. And Ethan Allen, I found this quote by him. I thought it was so good. I wanted to share it with you today. this is how I feel about Liberty. This is one of the reasons why we have the blessings of Liberty Radio broadcast. He said, ever since I arrived at the state of manhood and acquainted myself with the general history of mankind, I have felt a sincere passion for liberty. And when I read that, I thought, you know, that's exactly how I feel. Ever since I arrived at the state of manhood and acquainted myself with the general history of mankind, I have felt a sincere passion for liberty. If somebody came along and asked me the question, you know, why, what's that got to do with anything? What's that got to do with heaven or eternity? Why would a Baptist preacher spend so much time emphasizing liberty and talking about the things that we talk about here on the radio broadcast? And my answer would just have to be that God himself put that message and that flame of liberty in my heart from the very beginning of the ministry that he called me into. I was 20 years old, the summer of 1990. I was feeling in my heart that God had been dealing with me about the ministry. I was praying about it. You know, I'm a very young man at that time. I had been married a few years, and I was in the United States Air Force, and we were in a good church in England, the Faith Baptist Church in Bromsgrove, Suffolk, England. And God was dealing with my heart about the ministry, about surrendering to preach. And I had a friend of mine who had recently surrendered to preach. And I asked him, I said, how do you know? How do you know that that is God's will for your life? And I'll never forget, he told me, he said, if that's God's will for your life, God will confirm it with Scripture. God will speak to your heart from the Word of God about what he wants you to do for your life. And so that was on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. I think it was a Sunday night. But anyway, I had been reading through the Bible that year for the first time in my life. And so there were many things I was coming across I had never read before. I didn't know very much about the history and the layout of the Bible and all of these things. But I remember going home and in our kitchen there in England, I remember praying and asking that if it was God's will for my life that I go in, that I surrender to preach, that he would show me without a doubt from the Scripture. And I was reading through the book of Isaiah at that time. I started in Isaiah chapter number 60, read that chapter. This happened on that very night. Turned the page, top left-hand corner of my Bible, Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1 says this, and said this to my heart at that time, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And I remember it was just as if that scripture jumped off the page into my heart. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And God used that verse of scripture to confirm in my heart that he wanted me to be a preacher of the gospel. It wasn't a career decision that I made. I'm talking about the call of God upon somebody's life. And that verse, part of it says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And so liberty has been in my heart. You know, I take that verse personally. I know that it's a messianic prophecy concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, at that time, I didn't know any of those things. I just knew God had shown me from his word that he wanted me to preach the gospel and to proclaim liberty to the captives. And so I see that as an individual mandate from the Lord upon my life. The message of liberty is important to me. And it's not just about civics and government and the Constitution. You know, we use it that way many, many times. But the message of liberty actually goes to the very soul of man. It meets his very basic need. It doesn't matter what government that you live under. You may live under a dictatorship. You may live under a socialism, communism, democracy, a republic, you know, and still not be free. But if you have the type of liberty and freedom that the Bible proclaims through the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are truly free indeed. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And he is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So the message of liberty is very important unto me. And as I studied history and time went on, I found out that Baptist people have been the greatest friends of liberty in America, more so than any other group. The Baptist people pressed for freedom of religion. And of course, that is in the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, and it was the Baptist people that pressed for that. So liberty is important spiritually, physically, governmentally, however you look at it. It's a message of the Bible. It's a predominant theme in the Word of God. Now, last week, and I just wanted to share that as just a personal word of testimony and why liberty is so important to me. Now, last week, I looked at Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, and I made a comparison between a constitutional form of government and a bureaucratic form of government. I said that a constitutional form of government is really the only form of government that you can actually obey. A bureaucratic form of government is impossible to obey because of its continued growth and known for red tape and all of these things weighing people down with unnecessary legislation. And after a while, you get so many laws, you don't know even what the law is. And I guarantee you, there's nobody listening in today that could tell us all the laws that we're supposed to be obeying at any given time. But Romans 13 and verse number 1 says this: "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And so there is our responsibility as a Christian citizen towards our government. Now, the question that I put forth last week, and I've said this many times before, who are the higher powers? What is the higher powers? And in America, the higher powers, the law of the land, is the United States Constitution. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And so when our elected leaders, when they are sworn into office, they will stand, place their hand, many of them, not everybody, I realize, but historically, place their hand upon the Bible and swear an oath or confirm that they will defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, so help me God. And so that's the law of the land. That's the higher powers. Our country was established a constitutional form of government, and every soul is to be subject under the higher powers, which is the law of the land. That's the president right on down. That's federal, local, state, government, doesn't matter. That's the military. That's the law of the land. Now, I found something by way of accident this past week. I'd never noticed it. I didn't know this. Now, I use a King James Bible exclusively. I don't read out of or study anything else. I do not believe it's necessary or needful to do that. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. But in that little devotional book I was telling you about, on a sidebar, they had Romans 13 and verse number 1 out of the NIV. And most of the time, I don't even bother to read that. But I read it because it was Romans 13 and verse number 1. And when I read it, I thought to myself, well, it's no wonder people are so messed up on what it means to obey the higher powers or those in authority. Listen what it says in the NIV. And the whole tone and the context of the scripture is totally changed from what the King James says. The NIV says this: "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Now, I've accidentally discovered in the past that the new versions among many other doctrinal shortcomings, they're no friend of liberty either. The word liberty will be found in your King James Bible 27 times. The word liberty will be found in the New International Version one time. In the CEV or some of the others, you don't even have the word liberty. So if I was a friend of liberty and a Christian, I would get myself a King James Bible. I found that out by accident. But in our King James Bible, there is no contradiction between Romans 13 and 1 in saying that we are to be subject, every soul should be subject unto a constitutional form of government. But the way the language is changed in the other versions, it makes people authorities, not written law. It makes people authorities. Now, the people are not the authorities. The law is the authority. There's a great gulf of difference there between those two ideas. A lot of people say, well, Romans 13, 1, obey the government. But that's not what Romans 13 and 1 is saying. I could see where you would get that from if you were reading out of an NIV. But actually, we are to obey the written law of the land. If people were the law of the land, if they made laws just on a whim, you're never going to know what the laws are. But if there is a written law of the land, that's the higher power that we're to follow. People need to get a good understanding of that in their minds and in their hearts. Especially, it's so important in the day and time in which we live and the issues that lie before us as a nation. So last week we talked about the difference between a constitutional form of government and a bureaucratic form of government. A constitutional form of government is rule by law. And it just says we have the law, we are to follow the law. Do you know the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights can be carried in your shirt pocket? We're not talking about some overwhelming room full of books and laws. And we're talking about a very simple form of government with a very specific mandate for government to carry out. The Constitution is one of the greatest documents aside from the Bible upon the face of God's green earth. And this is what our government was founded upon. But through the years, we have allowed ourselves to go away from that and to evolve. I think a better way to put it would be devolve from a constitutional form of government to a bureaucratic form of government. A bureaucracy is known by officialism, red tape. That's the actual definition out of the dictionary. Red tape. Proliferation, which means growing indefinitely, growing by leaps and bounds, like we've seen government over the past 20 plus years in the United States of America, administration for every area of life, endless policy making, rules, laws, legislation, more and more rules. Our Congress, our governments, local, state, federal, they pass thousands of laws each and every year. But do you know that our constitutional limited form of government is based upon the model of a Baptist church? I want to read a quote to you from historian Dr. D.B. Ray. And he says, the government under which we live was formed and fashioned upon the model of a Baptist church. Thomas Jefferson frequently attended a Baptist church near Monticello, Virginia, of which the Reverend Andrew Tribble was pastor. Mr. Jefferson, who often witnessed the congregation transacting business, was much impressed with their democratic way of doing things and concluded that their plan of government would be the best possible one for the American colonies. Miss James Madison says Mr. Jefferson did gather those views from a Baptist church. And you know, that's one of those, maybe one of those Paul Harvey moments. And now you know the rest of the story. And you know, if you ever get insomnia and you can't sleep at night, there's a channel on TV called C-SPAN, and you can watch the proceedings of the House and the Senate, you know, where they're up there debating one form of legislation or another. And I've watched segments down through the years, I guess, if you're just really bored and don't have anything else, you know. But anyway, I've watched enough to know that is basically the same way that we conduct business in a Baptist church. And what I mean by that, they will come and they'll have a matter of business. And somebody will, and there's very distinct way that they conduct their business. Somebody will bring up a matter of business and they'll put it in the form of a motion, and somebody will second it, and then they'll have discussion. And then if it's necessary, others will come and they will, the way we have it phrased in our rules of decorum, somebody will come and give their light upon that subject. And they're not to throw off on brother so-and-so. And so everybody that wants to can take a turnabout and say, well, this is what I think about it. And then when they get done discussing the subject, they'll put it to a vote. And, you know, that's the way they conduct business. Well, that's about the same exact way that we conduct our business in a Baptist church even today. But there is a huge difference. They follow the same form, but what they're actually doing between what we do and what they do, there's a huge difference. Now, I've pastored Baptist churches now for 19 years, and we do not believe that it is our prerogative to continually come up with new rules and regulations and ordinances to put up on our people. I was thinking about this the other day. What a mess it would be in the church if every time, every month when you met together for the transaction of business, if we were continually coming up with new laws to live by, if we, you know, just whatever was our fancy, whatever we thought, you know, well, I think it ought to be that, you know, whatever. What a mess. You couldn't even keep up with everything. You'd have to hire somebody to keep up with all the new rules and make sure everybody in the church was doing this and doing that. And if they didn't do it, are they going to be, you know, what a mess. Nobody would want to be a member of a church like that. Nobody wants to have every little part of their life regulated and lorded over by somebody else. You know what? As long as I've pastored, I cannot think of anything that we've ever passed in a business meeting that regulated the laws of somebody else, the lives of somebody else. My counsel down through the years has simply been this to every church I've pastored. Look, we have the Bible. It's the Word of God. We follow the Word of God. We don't have to make laws and rules and regulations. You know, I've had it come up before. Well, why don't we put it into our bylaws this? And I always say, what's the Bible say? If you get outside of what the Bible says, you're going to have a mess. We'll just follow the Bible. We'll keep order in the church and make sure the bills are paid and the daily business. But we don't have to come up with new laws and regulations every time we come together. But I'll tell you what, the big difference between a Baptist church now and most people that are involved in government today, they think that it is their job to continually come up with, every time they meet together, new laws, new regulations, new ordinances, new obstructions to put upon the people. And it comes to the place where nobody even knows how many laws and rules and regulations and who keeps up with. And you have to hire whole teams of people to keep up with everything that they're continually coming up with, instead of just saying to themselves, you know what, we are involved in government. We have the Constitution. That gives us our mandate, what we are supposed to do. Do you know the purpose of government is to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And when government goes beyond that, they get outside of what the Constitution mandates for them. There are some other things on the federal level, but I'll tell you, it is not a good thing for a government, any government, federal, state, local, to continually be piling upon the people rules and regulations and ordinances and restrictions. You know, when you have that, what you have, you don't have a constitutional form of government where liberty is the gospel that is preached. You have a bureaucratic form of government characterized by red tape, officialism, laws, regulations piled one upon another. And you cannot have continual proliferation of laws and regulations and ordinances without constricting the liberty of the people. And it doesn't matter if it's federal, state, local. Those who love liberty, those who are concerned with freedom, we need to keep our eyes on what the government is doing, because if you just sit back, watch TV, and let government do anything and everything, what you'll do is wake up one morning and find out you don't have any freedoms anymore. They've been legislated away by bureaucrats who think it is their job to continually put more restrictions upon the people. Let me give you just a quick, I've got just a few minutes left today, illustration of what I'm talking about. Last week, it was reported on GoBlueRidge.net. That's our local, one of our local news services. And this was the headline. It said, Boone moves quickly to ban concealed guns. This is talking about the Boone Town Council. I don't have time to give all the background behind this, but the state of North Carolina, there's been some laws that have been changed. Winston-Salem is going through the same thing. But Boone moves quickly to ban concealed guns. Now, when I seen that, that just strikes me the wrong way. You know, I think to myself, why would Boone move quickly, the Boone Town Council move quickly to ban concealed guns? Is it that there are law-abiding concealed carry citizens that are some type of threat to us that we don't know about? You know, is there something going on we don't know about? Is this group of citizens who have gone to all the trouble? They've taken classes. They've been fingerprinted. There's extensive background checks been done on every person that has a concealed carry permit. They have taken tests. They have gone to the shooting range and exhibited that they are capable of handling and firing a firearm. They've taken training about the laws concerning carrying a firearm, and they have gone to great expense and trouble to obtain a concealed carry permit. Is this group of citizens causing some kind of trouble that we don't know about, that they need to be restricted in some way? Why would the Boone Town Council discriminate against, and that's what they're doing, they're discriminating against one class of citizens, one group of citizens that are not posing any problem or any threat in society right now, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. Every time you go to the store, the grocery store, shopping, every time you go out to eat, you are interacting with people that are carrying firearms. That is just a fact of life, especially in Watauga County, North Carolina, Ashe County, Avery County, many counties in North Carolina. Are these people causing problems? No, they're going about their business and they're not bothering anybody. Why would they want to discriminate against one lawful group? Against their lawful rights. These are law-abiding citizens. I'll tell you why they want to discriminate against them, because they're bureaucrats. That's what they do. They get together every month or twice a month and got to come up with ideas to legislate and regulate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I thought about this. How would they like an organized effort if they don't like concealed carry? What if we got together and organized groups that had days where we practiced open carry? You know, we could just go to downtown Boone, trade rifles, shotguns, pistols right there on the street, carry them up and down during tour season. We could get the bar owners to provide loud music, you know, and maybe have some preaching and all kinds of things. You know, why? Why they got to regulate? Because they're bureaucrats. That's exactly why. Leviticus 25:10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. So I'm going to be watching this. I hope there's others that'll join with me. You know, if Americans do not wake up quickly and stem the tide of eroding liberties, one day we'll wake up and discover that we have none. They've been taken away while we were watching football games and baseball games and going out to eat and all of these things. Somebody has to be the watchman up on the wall. And so we're going to be watching this. We appreciate you listening in the Blessings of Liberty. Noah's going to come on and give the contact information. We'd love to hear from you. And God bless you. Have a great day is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.